I'll read from Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give to others, and it will be given to you. You will be given much. It will be poured into your hands, shaken and pressed down, more than you can hold. It will be so much that it will spill over into your lap. The measure that you will use to measure will be used to measure back to you.
Good afternoon, brethren. Everybody awake? I would invite you to study God's Word with me once again this afternoon in talking about giving, the giving of a Christian. And this is a lesson that we have gone over in different various lessons recently in talking about benevolence of a Christian. But when we think about what we can do as Christians and, you know, not being stagnant in the water, so to say, as far as our Christian life and maybe not, you know, being lukewarm or being stuck and just feeling like I'm never growing as a Christian. This is just another review lesson to help remind us of things that we can do to grow as a Christian and things that we can do to continue, you know, moving in our Christian life and continue moving our faith places instead of it just sitting and never moving and always just, it seems like, that lukewarm type behavior. We're going to need that fan. I'm not giving a fire lesson, don't worry. But benevolence, as we've said before, is defined on Webster's as having a desire to do good or doing an act of kindness, giving a generous gift. Now, there are different categories that we can talk about concerning giving, and we'll be going over all of them once again. Maybe giving to God, giving to our brethren, giving to the needy of the world, giving to the world in general, maybe even in the sense of evangelism. But certainly, all of these different things are important in the Christian life, and we'll try to cover them as much as we can. But there are many other scriptures regarding giving, other than the ones that we'll be going over. But I'll try to give you as many as I can, and we'll be trying to read as many as we can, as far as we get without anybody going to sleep. No, I'm just kidding. Although I did hear Leon talk about how he uses some of the lessons to to go to sleep. He gets a CD and he uses it to go to sleep. That's what he told Kevin, one of your prior preachers. It is a joke, but anyways, giving to God will be the first one we talk about. Or no, giving to our brethren, rather. We'll start with that one. Giving to our brethren in Christ in action. If you turn over to 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 through 18, obviously this is a topical lesson. We're going to be jumping all over the Scriptures, and so get your Bible hands ready. 1 John 3, 17 through 18. This is something that God both expects and commands of a Christian, and not to just help out in word only, but also in action, or also known as deed, and in truth. 1 John 3, 17 through 18 says, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." So obviously pertaining to brethren, and more so individually that verse. And then if you turn over to Matthew 25, 37 through 40, Jesus will account the same thing. Matthew 25, 37 through 40. Jesus does account here, giving to a brother in need is giving to him also. Likewise, if you didn't give to a brother in need, Jesus also says of the wicked, to not give to a brother in need would be to not give to him. And ultimately, those will be the ones who will reap that torment waiting them. Matthew 25, 37 through 40. Read there with me. "Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, and or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when we see you hungry, thirsty, a stranger, naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you. Then he will answer them, saying, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So obviously, a giving to a brother in Christ, giving to a sister in Christ, being ready and being willing to give, whether it be monetarily, whether it be in action, whatever it is, just being ready to help a brother or sister in Christ that is actually in need and is actually reaching out for help, or maybe even isn't. You need to be, you know, putting yourself out there as well. Be approachable. Well, that's something that is of a Christ-like behavior, to help your brethren in Christ. If you go to James chapter 2, 15 through 16, we all should know what this is, the warmed and filled passage. Well, you can't just say to somebody, be warmed and filled, and it just happened. For God it could. He could say, be warmed and filled. We as humans can't do that. We have to put work in. We have to take care of our fellow man. We have to take care of our brethren, and more importantly as well. And so, whenever they're in need, make sure that we're always approachable, we're always reaching out to them. Here it is, James 2:15. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. You don't give them the things which are needed for the body. What does it profit? Of course, that's said in comparison with the faith without works passage there. But giving to our brethren spiritually as well is another thing that it really is the most important thing. James 5:19 through 20. And keep in mind that all these different works that we might do for a brother or sister in Christ, every single one of them, well, they're all really helping spiritually and showing the example of a Christian, showing the behavior of Christ and encouraging one another. Encouragement's a very strong thing that us as Christians sometimes forget. Encouragement is something that we need to have on a daily basis, really. Encouragement we can get strongest from the Scriptures, but even from brethren in Christ, one to another, encouraging is incredibly important because we can all get discouraged. I'm telling you, as a preacher, I get discouraged all the time. All of us get discouraged as Christians, don't we? And we need encouragement. Whether I don't care what act of worship it is. I don't care if even, you know, you're not doing acts of worship as a brother in Christ or for sisters in Christ. You know, all of us need encouragement as Christians in general. We need encouragement to continue on, to fight the good fight, to, you know, whether it be a sin that we're battling or whether it not be, we can still become discouraged. James 5:19-20 says there, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So obviously another thing that Jesus expects of us as Christians is to help turn each other back to him, is to help each other, as we said this morning, get to heaven. It's not just about me going to heaven. It's about all of us going to heaven. That's why I'm preaching. Because I felt a responsibility to the world, to my fellow man. I felt a responsibility to the church to help us get to heaven. That's why a preacher preaches. Or that's why he should be preaching. Not for money. A preacher should be preaching for that. And likewise, any teacher or any Christian should be wanting everyone to be saved and not just themselves. That's the type of attitude that the Pharisees got into. And we need to be careful that we don't approach the same. Romans 12:13, giving to our brethren in Christ monetarily. Romans 12:13 might be a passage that we can relate. And likewise, another one here in a moment. But this is really that is something expected of you by God if it is something that is necessary or needs to happen. If a brother or sister in Christ is in need in this way, of course, we can be reminded of different times whenever, even in the parable of the Good Samaritan, how that Good Samaritan would take in the one who was in need whenever nobody else would. He would obviously pay for his room at the inn. That was a parable that Jesus said. So this is something that's expected of the child of God in general. Romans 12:13 says, distributing to the needs of the saints and given to hospitality, in that list of different things that we can read there, of do's and don'ts. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Another passage we can quickly look at. 4:8-10 says, And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another. So have love for one another. Verse 9, be hospitable to one another. Notice the clarification, without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Of course, it's getting into other information there also, maybe as pertaining as well to miracles in the first century. But be hospitable to one another. We don't have miracles today. But take care of one another, both in action and in word and encouragement. And encouragement doesn't just also happen in word. It also happens in action. You know, and your desire to want to help somebody grow in Christ, your desire to want to help somebody with whatever need it is, even monetarily, can greatly encourage somebody who's a Christian. And of course, another way that God takes care of the brethren and of the church is, guess what? Through our brethren, through the church itself. He takes care of us through us. That's another way that God will definitely use His providence to take care of us as Christians. And so that's a useful tool that we always need to be using as Christians, is each other. When we think about giving to the needy of the world, this is something that Jesus definitely did all throughout His ministry. He was always seeming to go over to the people that weren't paid attention to much. He always loved everybody He looked at, everybody He came across. While He was on the earth, He seemed to just be kind to everybody. And everybody loved talking to Him. Everybody, you know, really, He was really approachable. Except for those, of course, who sought to do Him harm for wicked intention. Whether it was talking to someone new, whether it was Him performing a miracle, helping someone with an even trivial need, Jesus would use many different avenues to reach someone or many people spiritually. And this is one way that we can give to the world, is through evangelism. Really, any way that we might see as giving, whether it be monetarily or in action or in word, any of those can be avenues for evangelism. So that's what we need to keep in mind. Whether it be a neighbor, whether it be, you know, somebody at Walmart, you know, any type of good deed that you do or good thing that you do, you know, what people call good, well, that can be a way to approach them. That can be a way to start to get to know them. You know, the guy you start seeing at Walmart every so often. I know that whenever I first got here, there would be some guys that, there would be this one guy that I would always talk to, and he was always at the door. He, you know, he's a really nice guy. He's still there. And I always tried to, you know, go up and try to talk to him every chance I get, because he was, you know, there was that opening, there was that door every time. And likewise with other people, you know, people at a register, just tell me about their life's problems. You know, sometimes you just get people who just, you know, even at the Walmart register, you know, they're working and they just all of a sudden open up the door of all of their life. And you just sit there and you listen to it for, I mean, a long time. And those are just doors, you know, making yourself approachable so that those things happen. And that's what all of us as Christians, our behavior should show in order for those things to happen. Otherwise, if you're not approachable, if you seem angry all the time, you seem mean, and you're just, you know, thinking bad of everybody, nobody's going to want to walk up to you. Nobody's going to want to talk to you. So we have to be careful about the way we look as well, and the way we approach things, and the way we behave in public, and et cetera. These are all things as Christians we need to care for carefully. Luke 14, 7 through 14. Luke 14, 7 through 14, if you would turn there. Thinking about when you might hold a dinner or something, or a type of gathering, or at a house, who do you invite? Do you only invite Christians? Do you only invite, you know, maybe those of the inner circle? You know, why not try to invite another brother in Christ, or another sister in Christ, or maybe some of the needy of the world, or maybe just some friend from the world? You know, that'd be a good way to impact those people in the world, to try to get them to start getting to know more Christians. It may be through them, or it may be through you, that they get to, you know, finally understand what they need to do to be saved. I have a friend like that. You know, I wish that, you know, he's been a denominational for a really long time. I knew him since I was in kindergarten. I wish that he would, you know, become a Christian in the Church of Christ, but, you know, me as a preacher, and then many other preachers, you know, he got to know them, he got to know me, and multiple of them were able to teach him as well, likewise to me. And so just lots of more ways to reach out to people, you know, getting more brethren in contact with those people from the world. That's another good work that you can do. And that's another way that you can make that happen. And just a good recommendation, good suggestion as well for you as far as that goes. But Luke 14, 7 through 14. So he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, "When you're invited to anyone to a wedding or by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. He who invited you and him come and say to you, 'Give place to this man.' Then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sat at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." That's the very statement of you better humble yourself. This is the way one of my fellow students said it. You know, one of my peers said it back in the VIM. He said his dad used to always say something. You best humble yourself before God has to do it. And that's exactly what Jesus just said right there. You get that? Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Humble yourself before God has to do it. And so another type of behavior, as we were talking about this morning, that's approachable, that allows you to be able to get people to like you, to be able to, you know, talk to them, to get in communication, to start opening those doors. Continue there, verse 12. Then he also said to him who invited him, "When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask for your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. When you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. You will be blessed for this, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Pretty plain and clear, and obviously these are teachings of Jesus. So do they apply to us? Yes, they do. Now, which of us have done this recently? Invited all the lame and the blind to our house and done this? Well, it's a challenge. It's a challenge to start thinking about those things and really who we invite at different gatherings, you know, who we don't invite at different gatherings, and who we possibly could invite. You know, ways that we can reach out to people, ways that we can show the love of Christ right there in front of us that we're just not taking. Well, this is a challenge to start taking those things and start making use of them. If a true Christian never reaches out to the world, if the Church of Christ always hides in a bush, is anybody ever going to know about the Church of Christ? Well, I think that answers itself. No, they're not. If we never reach out to the world with our love, if we never show our example, if we never engage in those conversations, I don't care if it's internet, online, social media, or if it's in person, if we never do those things and we always hide under a bush, is anything going to happen? Will this congregation ever grow? No. No. You'd be right in shaking your head. No. No, it will never grow. And that's why we need to show those examples and we need to make those doors open. We need to be approachable. Extend your hand out to people so they can take it. So all of us here need to take that lesson, myself included, to try to get more of those doors, to try to open more opportunities for us to be able to preach to people, be able to teach to people about the salvation that Christ offers and about, in general, the Church of Christ and how it is the true church. But giving to the needy of the world monetarily, not just spiritually, but also monetarily for the basis of, you know, it being spiritual and for it being another avenue to be able to lead them to Christ, Matthew 6, 1 through 4. Matthew 6, 1 through 4 says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." just that same type of humble aspect and you know, aspect of Christ, and how there's no doubt many more people, just as it concludes in the book of John, many more acts that Jesus did, many more ways He helped people that are not even written in Scripture. I mean, He was doing it for 3 years, basically. And you can even think about His entire life before that, before His, you know, His ministry, to say, how He would have been helping people, how He would have been showing that behavior to people. And so we need to likewise, as we get chance in our lives, show that behavior of Christ to people and be able to, and help the world even monetarily if they do need it, such as the Good Samaritan even did. Don't be like the hypocrites when you do such a thing. Don't sound it. You know, some of these people that go on posting it everywhere, what they did and how amazing, you know, it is, and how amazing, you know, they are, basically, although they don't say that. They post it everywhere and they put their face all over the place, and, you know, they say what a good philanthropist they are, or a good, you know, giver they are. There's all different people like that, and some have different intentions, and some of them may be truthfully hearted and good about it, but some of them certainly are not. And they really are hypocrites in this way, that they're doing it just for show and to get the attention of men. And really to even get more people to give to them. Because if more people see what they're doing, then they give to them. This person gets more money, and he gives just a little bit of it to maybe to keep on his business. You know what I'm saying? So anyways, even if it's your enemy, give to him in order to reach to him or her spiritually. Matthew 5:43-48 is the passage on that. Matthew 5:43-48, we know this passage. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. If you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you should be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So love your enemies. Take care of your enemies, even if they hate you, even if they keep on attacking you and they will not relent. Love your enemies and try to do your best and try to live your Christ-like life the best you can, even around them. I don't care if that's in the world. I don't care if that's even problems you might be having with a brother or sister in Christ. We just went over brethren. You need to try to love your enemies. You need to try to continue to living as a Christian. As long as you're doing what you need to do as a Christian and living how you need to live and behaving how you need to behave, then certainly all things will be well with you concerning your relationship with God. Another passage would be Romans 12:17-21. Romans 12:17-21. But you can just put that as a cross-reference. Giving to the needy, or in another word, the weak, is a work of the church, as well seen in Acts 20:32-35. And lastly, we think about giving. Who should we be giving the most to? We should be giving the most to God. And so this is review over sermons we've had in the past again. But when we think about benevolence, is a very important thing, because benevolent not just monetarily, but benevolent with our actions. And if we're not benevolent with our actions as a Christian, we're never moving. We're never going anywhere. We're just stale. We're stagnant in the water. And so we need to be giving always. We need to be benevolent always. It needs to be a 24/7 regular day thing that we're giving in some way, ultimately to God, ultimately spiritually speaking. And by works that we do, it is on a spiritual basis. You know, it can be well-pleasing to God, depending on what it is that we're doing. Hebrews 10:22-25. Hebrews 10:22-25 is the first one that we go to here concerning giving to God. Being present is really the first thing that we might think of concerning a Christian. Giving to God in action, not forsaking the assembling of the saints together, being present for all times of worship to Him, is one way you can give to God in action. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good work. There it is again concerning the brethren, verse 24, consider one another. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Another good reason that we assemble together, that God also made sure, you know, that it's the case, is so that we can be there one another for our brethren. Assembling is, you know, ultimately for God, but it's also for our brethren. It's also for each other, to encourage each other, to fellowship together, to take care of one another, to check up on each other. It's a good, you know, how are you time. It's a good time to make sure that everybody's okay. It's a good time to check up on what's been going on in each other's lives and pray for one another as we have need and take care of one another in the other ways we've been talking about as we have need. Prayer, obviously, as we just mentioned, Romans 12:10-12 is another way you can give to God in action. Paul would pray for the churches. There would be much prayer that would be done throughout the epistles and the gospels. Jesus would teach his disciples to pray. Prayer is something that's essential in the Christian life. Thanks to God or request to God. Pray all the time. Just as Jesus told his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane and they kept on falling asleep, pray lest the devil take you as well. It's another way to keep the devil away from you, is to keep yourself close to God, and the devil will be farther. The devil will be farther away from being able to tempt you. 1 Corinthians 9:19-23. Spreading the gospel is another way you can give to God in action. So we talked about spreading the gospel to the world. Spreading the gospel even to our brethren by our example. Even by teaching. You know, proper teaching. 1 Corinthians 9:19-23. We're almost finished here. I know everybody's tired. We had a big lunch. That was some good food. Always need to make sure to thank everybody who made those different things. 1 Corinthians 9:19-23 says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. To the Jews I became as a Jew that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, those who are under the law as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you." It's interesting how Paul ended that out. He ended that out saying basically that it's essential to even to my soul that I'm doing this. You notice that? Verse 23, "I do this for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you." So it's essential to their souls and his soul. That's Paul showing his concern for other brethren, his concern for even the world, you know, and wanting them to be saved just like him, and also concern for his own soul in knowing that he needs to constantly grow and also evangelize in order to be pleasing to God. So it is something that is required of a Christian, that is evangelism, that is spreading the good news of Christ, being an example of Christ as Paul was, imitated. Or told even the churches to imitate him as he imitates Christ, 1 Corinthians 11:1. We know that verse. We should also be able to say the same thing to fellow brethren or anybody who would seek to be a proper Christian. We should be able to say that. Are we living a proper Christian life to be able to say that? Think about how God also gives us so abundantly so that we have all our need, all that we need to accomplish good works in this life and on this earth. 2 Corinthians 9:8. When we think about giving to God, we can give to God in action, we can give to God monetarily. This will be the last thing we talk about monetarily. We know our commandments to give to God. We talked about being here just in plain and simple for worship, which some people aren't. Some people choose not to come to any worship services whatsoever. Some people are still worried about COVID. Some people are worried about, you know, whatever it is, and they never show up for any reason. Ever. But giving to God also monetarily now, in the act of worship even called the collection or giving. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2 happens on the first day of the week when the saints obviously are to take up a collection as they've been commanded, even in the Scriptures. So giving back in that way is another act of worship monetarily, but also giving back something that we've prospered from in this life, but with a good, worshipful, truly honest heart to God, not grudgingly or of necessity, as 2 Corinthians 9:6-8 says, but with obvious faith in God's ability to continue providing for you and doing the best for you. Some people hold back as much as they can, and they're so worried about giving to God because they think that they're going to run out of money, and they're going to run out of things that they have need of. That's not having faith in God. Faith in God is having, you know, believing in that God will truly, powerfully take care of you in ways that you don't even understand or know sometimes, but by His providence, He will take care of you in the ways that you have need, even whenever you don't understand that in the moment. Because, brethren, friends, we can't always understand everything and every way that God works, His providence, every way that He takes care of us. We just know that He does, and we can trust Him that He does. So have that obvious faith in God's ability to continue providing for you, and don't hold back grudgingly or of necessity in such a way whenever we're giving even to God. And even in action, you know, when we focus our life completely on work, none of it on God, never show up for services, never read our Bibles, never do anything concerning God, never have a devotion with our family, never teach our family, because everything's about getting more money for our family. Is that trusting in God? No, it's not. That's not trusting in God, friends. Trusting in God is devoting time to God and understanding that He will take care of you in the other times of your life. Certainly it does increase the fruits of your righteousness, as 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10 says, when you give to the work of the church. And I'll read starting there in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 9. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. And then verse 10, now may He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So the work that we put in, what we give back to God, if it is faithful, if it is sincere, if it is true, it increases the fruits of our righteousness. It's another way to grow in God. All these things we've been talking about, works that we can do as Christians, are a way to grow your faith in Christ. All of the things we've been talking, and that's why it's important, brethren, in the world we live in the sin-polluted society we live in, what can we do to try to save it? What can we do to try to save ourselves, our families? Well, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about it right here in the Scriptures and looking at these verses, saying giving back to God, giving to our brethren, giving to those who are in need, giving to the world in evangelism. All these different things with all these different respective Scriptures to try to help us in our spiritual warfare against evil and for the sake of the gospel. Keep in mind that there are many denominations out there who are out there trying to spread words that are not God's, and out there trying to spread words that are not Christ, not the Holy Spirit's. And if we let them win, more and more souls will be lost for eternity. So we need to do everything that we can. And I told you before that we have these brochures that we printed out. We've got about 400 of them here. If you want to pass them out to your neighbors, your coworkers, whoever it is, your friends, your grandparents, your parents, your daughters, sons, whoever it is, you can do that at any time. It doesn't hurt anything. You know, doors that are open, opportunities that are open, pass out those brochures. It has the church address on it. It tells all about the Church of Christ. You can even tell them about the plan of salvation with these brochures as well. We have the whole plan of salvation on our bulletin brochures. So, ways that we can work for God. That's what this lesson was about. I hope you have certainly been able to take something from it. I know that we're all tired, but certainly in this world, we do need much encouragement and we need much ability to keep on working for Christ. And we need much fervor to keep on going. If you have any need tonight or this afternoon as far as a sin in your life, if you have a sin in your life, you need to get right with God. And let us pray with you. Let us take care of that if you are willing, if you are sincerely sorrowful. But if you have any other needs, prayers, as we just talked about, let us pray with you as your brethren. It's not a shame to come up to this front pew and ask for prayers. It's not. Many people think it is, but it's not. It's not a shame. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a good thing that you allow your brethren to help you, because we're supposed to lift each other up. We're not supposed to cut each other down and tear each other apart like ravenous wolves. We're supposed to lift each other up. We're supposed to take care of each other. We're supposed to do everything that would lift the soul up. And because we care for each other's souls, we love each other, we want everybody to go to heaven. If you're not a Christian, I always make sure to give the plan of salvation. Lastly, you must believe Jesus is the Christ, be willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus is the Christ, and be baptized. And of course, by doing that, you will receive remission of sins, and you will be added to the kingdom of God. Not to the membership of this congregation, but added to the kingdom of God Most High, the spiritual kingdom. And then, of course, remain faithful unto death, and you will receive heaven and not torment. If you have any need, come to the front as we sing to God. And stand.
Seated, please.